Can you hear that in my voice? Just there. That sound is my voice with a knowing smile. And you know why this winning DJ has a knowing smile? It's because I've got something to tell you about the American Express Platinum Cashback Everyday Credit Card. With no annual fee and no limit to how much cashback you could earn, this card gives you cashback on anything you buy. Which means when I'm buying Italian hand-stitched butter-soft suede loafers, I'm getting cashback. When I'm buying flights to Capri for my next weekend getaway, I'm getting cashback. When I'm filling up my Beamer and just getting some chipsticks for the journey, you get the idea. Plus, new card members can earn 5% cashback in their first 3 months, up to a limit of £100. For more information, search Amex Cashback. Representative 24.5% APR variable. Minimum annual spend to receive cashback. Terms apply, 18 plus, subject to approval. And yes, you guessed it. That was a wink you just heard.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. Gav's here, little size here, big size here, Sunter's here. Most importantly, though, you're here. Sunter's not here. I lied about that.
Yeah, you did.
I lied. I shouldn't have lied.
No, I know.
Because they'd find out within a second, wouldn't they?
That's right. They would.
I just want to make it sound like there's more of us.
Right.
Because
right.
I tell you why. Because I realise Sunter isn't here. Big size mute. That just leaves you. We don't like little side
we
talking.
Don't want to bring
so essentially saying I'm here and Gav's here.
Yeah, sure.
And that's, you know, that's not, that doesn't sound like an apo- I don't offend you, Gav, but that ain't a posse.
It's not a posse. It ain't no party.
Gav's here.
It's like we're just in a car together.
Yeah, we must have just been in a car. Yeah,
you're riding with two men.
I'm John, and this is Gav, and there's two of us on the whip.
I met him through horse racing.
Yeah, I met him at Thirsk. It's always a good day out
it's
at Thirsk.
It's a great day out at Thirsk.
Another great day out at Thirsk. Coming up, the countdown to Christmas begins. We turn on the Radio Xmas lights.
Yeah.
Do you see how I got muddled halfway through that?
Really got done by the Christmas.
I did. The radio Christmas studio lights.
Yeah.
I tell you what, due to the excessive production little size put around that, really sounds like an event.
It sounds massive.
Until you realise it's just people literally turning on some screens in a
that's right.
Radio
in
studio.
In a room. Yeah.
Yeah, right, in a room. I was going to give it radio studio then, Gav. You've now lured us to two blokes in a car turning on some lights in a room.
Some people love that.
They do like that.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Downselling. Also, it's a bad day for weasels, diesels, and weasels in diesels.
Oh.
What are you going to do to that? Oh, it's about weasels on the decline and diesels. It's bad for the environment. And we go north of the bamboo curtain to bring you all the very latest news on the Jong and himself, Kim Jong-un. Which sounds like a sort of very old school counting system. 1, 2, 3. Kim Jong-un.
Yes. There should be more numbers.
It should be Jong Kim.
It should, yeah.
You feel the sort of the un normally comes first. I mean, most. Anyway, enjoy the podcast. Here we go.
Radio X.
Gav, how's that fender coming along that you're making?
Oh, it's funny you should say that. Look, here's a picture of it.
Do you know, I actually didn't know.
That is bizarre. I was literally getting ready to show you.
I literally didn't know.
That is so weird.
That's mad. Mind you, it's not that mad.
No.
He's called Sam Fender.
That's right.
He plays guitar.
That's right.
And when
I'm putting a fender together.
You're building a fender. Yeah, the subject was bound to crop up, some would argue. So let's rule. We won't say that was psychic.
No, it really was.
Although, I'll tell you something. On some of those documentary channels, that would be enough.
Oh, yeah.
They definitely have people going, clearly, Vaughan saw something in the...
He is channeling
clearly, his third eye was
of ethereal
sensitivity to certain forces.
His mind has access to data.
A phenomenon known as psychodata. I like anyone whose job or is trying to make out they've got any kind of qualification in something that starts with the word... Para.
Right.
Like parabiologist. Yeah. You know, a parachemist. What is
paraphysicist.
A paraphysicist, yeah. Psychoparaphysicist. Paratherapy. No,
liar just, is what that is. That's a
charlatan.
Liar. That's a liar.
What do you call yourself? A heretic. Yeah, right. Anyway, Gav, how's it coming on?
Yes, the neck has finally met the body.
Oh, man.
It's turning into a guitar.
Are you going to make this lighter so we can play out with it?
Yeah.
Is it going to be light?
Oh, that's one of the reasons I built it.
So what lightweight?
So that it doesn't do my back.
Is it your balsa guitar? That'd be great if you made one. It floats.
Well, it is made of swamp ash, which is light.
Okay.
And hard.
Okay.
Which is what you
is
want.
Is it really swamp ash? Yeah, you lying?
I'm not joking.
Great
it's
name for a
ash.
Band.
It is.
Or an ash tribute band.
Yeah.
We are swamp ash. I had a disappointing Sunday since you asked.
Well, that's what I was doing this weekend.
Because it always happens.
Well, you always
think to yourself, you know, whenever you think, oh, with Man United in disarray, this is the weekend.
Oh, they were going to be lambs.
I was already celebrating before. And it turns out what United have done is not worked at all on their attack.
Right.
And Chelsea's strategy means that there have to be occasions when they come forward.
Right.
I don't think we've got a plan for people who are just there to defend. They had six touches in our area, I think, in the whole game. I was looking at some of the stats in the Telegraph. Shocking. But tell you something, just in a cut, I mean, he's got on pressing.
Well, I am not even a Chelsea fan, and I built my Sunday around watching Man U get destroyed.
Yeah.
And it never materialised. Yeah. They confused me, Man U, because they started really trying.
No, they don't really have. No, Jules really got me about Man United.
What?
This time is, I just don't know why their kit has taken such a step back. They used to have some really sharp looking kits. I'm not a fan, but
sure.
You know, they did. They always had, and they've gone like to the mid 90s with these. They've gone with the baggy big Adidas shorts.
Yeah.
They always look like they'd irritate me in the wet.
Sure. They'd just chafe, wouldn't they?
They just sort of cling to your legs, really.
Yeah.
You know how man-made fibres sort of go all cold and Well, they look a bit... Anyway, I was just... you can see why Ronaldo isn't happy.
Oh, yeah.
Because the kit's just not sharp enough for Man United.
Absolutely right.
I'm going to say it as just an aesthete. it's just not. It's not good enough.
It's not right.
I mean, it's not Puma bad, you know. Mind you, I think Puma, they get into a club when they're just transitioning between Nike and Adidas.
Right.
They think, I know, it's going to annoy the fans, but apparently we've got to go Puma for a couple of years.
It's the purgatory section of sponsorship.
It is. It's like, oh no! All fans grow.
We've
not
been Puma-ized.
As one, not Puma! Christ! But it's awful. You've had it arsed, haven't you? It's awful.
Exactly right. And everything just got a bit better.
Have you still?
No, it's Adidas now.
It's Adidas. There you go. Yeah. That'll be decent. Although you look at those shorts. I don't know what Man United have done to upset the lads in wherever.
Dangerous,
it is.
Yeah,
to upset the Germans. But they certainly seem to have done. Next up, little side goes to the tip.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Gav.
Yeah.
We've talked about your weekend a little bit.
Sure.
Incidentally, Gav's... This is the 4-7 thing on Radio X. I'm talking to Gavin Woods now about... I've just been listening to a lot more American podcasts. I'm trying to sort of develop that style.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things we were thinking about... I spoke to Gavin, who's making a guitar. Is that right? Gavin Woods, who's with me now. Gav.
That's right, yeah. But this that was a podcast question. It should have lasted another 12 minutes.
Absolutely right, yeah. Because it's like they all learn from Garth Crooks, right?
Yeah, right.
Hey, Gav. You've got your own Fender personalised stickers for this.
I have. I've got a decal that says Woodman in the Fender writing.
How about that?
It's very exciting.
The Fender Woodman. No, but wait, it's a Woodman...
Sportscaster.
It's a Woodman...
It's not a Stratocaster.
It's a Woodman Sportscaster, which is just genius. I thought you were joking. There's a company that actually makes...
That's right,
in all the Fender font.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh. And so it is now to Little Si, to whom we now turn.
Yes.
Now.
For the serious business.
Little Si, you went to the tip at the weekend, which... Yep. Did you have to book in?
Yeah, you have to now.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay, right.
It never seems to be... Yeah,
COVID, right?
What do you mean, book in?
Yeah, because it's just councils.
Your slot.
It's just councils.
What?
Because they can create a tier of admin, and that means someone's got a job who might, you know, that's how they do it. So there's no... In fact, it's not even that, because it's online.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so but I guess someone then had to spend some money on doing an app.
Oh, I see.
And it was a great initiative.
Sure.
But I mean, it's because when you are hurling stuff into a skip...
Hoying things into a skip.
That's real COVID risk activity, isn't it?
Because
anyone could have breathed on that skip.
That's
right?
True, and then that open air environment.
Yeah. And you're standing there with no one else around you.
Sure.
Hurling old crap into a skip 5 feet below you. And that strikes me as COVID risky.
Well, Johnny, they can let in up to a dozen cars at once in those places. So you're looking at two ranks of six people that can be pushed together closely.
About six yards apart.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
which is that's enough for Omicron.
Do you have to book which skip you want to be near?
No.
Oh, it's not like, right, okay, right.
Why do you think they went for Omicron? Do you think it's because they thought no one will know this Greek letter? It's so far down.
I never knew it.
It's so beyond mu and new.
It really is.
And just sits there proud before pi.
Yeah.
Just boom. No, but I just think that's why they went for it. Everyone think Omicron, that sounds like a great brand.
Right.
And by doing that, they really sort of think, yeah.
Crazy.
Well, it's actually, you know, that's... anyway, little side. Yeah. What were you dumping?
Load of cardboard, mainly.
Cardboard?
It must be
great time to be in the cardboard game.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah,
definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
It was quite annoying, actually, the whole trip, really.
Why?
Well, because we were going to make a bit of a family outing.
Don't even say it.
Family outing.
You're the kind of guy that makes a trip... Trips to the tip, yeah?
Well, they have seagulls there.
I know they do.
It's a holiday vibe.
Yeah, so you can get your chips stolen. Yeah, I'll take some chips. Okay, so we're going to feed the gulls down at the tip, love. Sorry.
Yeah,
it's not. No, it's an activity. When your boy's a bit bigger, that's something dad and son can do. I don't say it's in a sexist way, but purely because my eldest mum used to disapprove of what we used to do down the skip. We used to take two baseball bats down there.
Yeah.
And I used to put industrial safety goggles on him.
Yeah.
And... We used to set the bottles up on the edge of the skip and he could smash them as hard as he liked.
Cool.
And we had such fun doing it.
I really want to try that.
Yeah, it was really good fun.
Kids can't do that now.
You can do it.
No, they've got the little hole in the plastic bin for the bottles. You can hoy them in there hard.
No, they've still got a big skip in there.
Not for glass, no.
No, on ours they used to have it. We used to just whack them as hard as we liked. It was great fun. And honestly... The fun. I'd bring out like a big, like a magnum we'd had. My son used to look at me like, for me. It's all yours. Bam! Yeah. We had two claws. Weirdly, the baseball bats were miniature ones that I bought in when we were staying in Mallorca once.
Yeah.
And they'd had a load of burglaries at the place we were staying in.
Right.
So I thought we'd better have something to defend ourselves if the goes down, you know.
Yeah.
When the goes down, you better be ready. So we went to the local shop. I wanted to buy some baseball bats.
Yeah.
And they only had two miniature baseball bats. Guess what they were?
What?
Feyenoord and Glasgow Rangers.
No way.
Yeah. And it was interesting that on one of them, these miniature bats hit two notoriously feisty clubs, should we say. But on both of them, what made me laugh is that on the blue one, you just had the word Glasgow.
Yeah.
I thought if they do come, that's going to be the last word they see that night. No, it's quite shocking if you can read this, you're too close.
That's right. Oh, man.
Anyway, so you dumped everything, did you, Simon?
Yeah.
Well, and how did Em enjoy it?
No, there was too much cardboard in the car, so we couldn't fit Em and the boy in there.
You lucky man, eh? You got yourself a little bit of...
Did you go to the pub? Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
You went to the pub.
Oh, my God, he was genuinely disappointed. I forget it's your first kid and stuff and you've only just got married. Sorry. Yeah, I'll teach you about that later. Remind me about that one, Gav. Module 5, escape.
Sure.
Probable cause.
Paul Chowdhury.
What's happening?
Have you heard his global original podcast?
It's called The Paul Chowdhury Budcast.
And it's available on Global Player now.
You're probably thinking, what does Bud mean? Where's the meaning in this podcast? Does it have a metaphor? It does. This is a deep and meaningful podcast because Bud in Punjabi is a direct translation of far.
The Paul Chowdhury Podcast. Listen on Global Player now.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Real coat weather today.
Right? It is, yeah.
Crisp sunshine.
Mm.
And it just feels right with a coat and a coffee.
Sure.
You really feel like, you know, you could just be going for a walk through like Central Park, you know?
Yeah.
And like having a conversation about the media. Hey, Gav.
Yeah.
Guess what I've seen that made me really laugh today?
Mm.
I was walking past one of those Italian clothing shops that you've never heard of.
Right. Expensive
like,
ones.
Yeah, and one of those names like Antonio Riccardi. You know, the things you're thinking, what?
And it's just two branches and everything's 900 quid.
Ricci Pollo. Or something just weird. And you're just looking, you think that's weird. What's that? Anyway, but in the window, I couldn't believe this.
Mm.
They've got jackets with the collar up, with a coat over it, yeah?
Right.
And the scarf is behind the collar. I'm thinking, no one does that.
Nobody does that.
No one's done that for years.
Not for years.
No, but also to think you look sort of slick like that. Yeah, no, I put the scarf outside the collar on the coat. It just looks cool. It doesn't. It just looks absolutely ridiculous.
I always think of it as East 17 weather, when the coats come out. Because all their videos, they had like 40 different coats
Gav,
on each.
Gav, who doesn't think that? And Gav, that's perfectly normal. Whew, thank God for that.
Radio X.
Okay, a lot of you want to know what the Ugandan grasshopper is.
Yeah. Including me.
That mate who, after a few pints of Stella at a family party, thinks he's a master on the pogo stick. Very good. It's the slight startled jump following a car back, following a car backfiring in the Haar Street that an old vet who's done his time at the tip of the...
Clipping that springs across the room and out of sight while you're trimming.
That's very good. That's really good.
That's from Barry.
It's the thing you order off of the menu in a foreign country and you're not sure what it is.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's Lord Stephen Davis of Croydon.
I don't know.
How about this then, Gav?
Go on.
I'm going to give you the real one. You ready?
Go on.
This is what the actual Ugandan grasshopper is. And I've got to say, I salute this guy.
Right.
I like people who see everything as a business opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly getting on an aeroplane. And they're thinking, yeah, that's the real opportunity for me.
Okay.
But I've never thought of sort of going on there and actually selling my own snacks to people. No, you know what I mean? Having a really nice selection of sandwiches and drinks. And while they're taking hours to come round, actually saying, no, come on in.
Yeah.
Or maybe like opening up a proper shop in the loos at the back.
A pop-up shop.
Yeah, a little pop-up shop.
I love that,
I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
Well, look, this is what a guy in Uganda's done.
Right.
A man has been arrested for selling snacks of fried grasshoppers.
Oh, right. The edible ones, yeah.
To fellow passengers on a Uganda Airlines flight.
Well, he just stood up.
Yes, he was caught with a plastic bag full of the delicacy, known as Nesne, on the way to Dubai. On his return to Uganda, he was stopped at Entebbe Airport. He was charged with being a common nuisance, refusing to follow aircraft crew instructions, and engaging in activities that could facilitate the spread of infectious disease.
Did he pay for the flight just for the business opportunity, was he going there anyway?
I don't know, Gavin, but they gave him 7 years.
You're kidding.
Kind of harsh. What really gets me is they waited for him to go back to Uganda. They're thinking, we're going to get you. Don't worry, but I think you got away from that.
Your grasshopper oligarch.
Yes.
We'll get you.
Yeah, right. I know, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
That's so cruel.
Yeah. But I love the idea of getting on a flight and thinking, we're going to make our money here from the holiday.
Yeah.
And with all the cigarettes we're going to buy and put in the thing, and we're going to really break even on this one. But just doing that.
It's genius. My heart sinks when the trolley starts on a plane, because I know you're not standing up for an hour now, because everyone's got 20
years.
Things they want to order.
Especially now, as people buy it, and they go, I've got, let me have a look. And they always go, Karen!
Yeah. Oh.
Are there any BLTs there?
Oh.
I'll have a look.
Yeah, I'll have a look.
I'll have a look.
Orange, was it?
Kieran! There's always a Karen and a Kieran. Kieran! Kieran! Karen wants to know if you've got any BLTs.
Two BLTs, we need two BLTs.
We've got no BLTs at all, Karen.
I've got a cold one.
Yeah, it just drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Drives me absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have you got any of the Twixies left as well?
Because
there's
right,
no Twixies left. I'll have a look. Karen!
Oh, God.
The Twixies! And that's Kieran.
And
Kieran.
That's just the first of the people of six in that rank.
Yeah, right.
Dealing with, yeah.
We haven't got any Twixies, no. We haven't got any Twixies.
They've got no Twixies.
We've got no Twixies. No Twixies? You're kidding me?
I just want to use the loo.
I want a BLT.
The trolley's in the
Can
way.
Can I get food for the loo?
Radio X.
You're right there, Gav.
Yeah, really
of
good.
Of course you are.
Of course I am.
You're right, little Simon.
Yeah.
Great news I received today about Simon.
What?
Really good news.
What's the good news?
He's taking parental leave.
Oh!
It's been okayed. The pressure I put on them.
Oh, man.
You can't believe.
I know.
They were reluctant.
I couldn't believe you were using all your leverage.
I know, I really did.
Yeah.
It was a me or him.
It was. I mean, you nearly walked out.
No, I didn't have to quite me or him it, but I said the woodman will go. Sorry,
you
Gav.
You volunteered me.
Yeah, I was wrong to do it behind your back, but I said I just
well,
think...
Well, it's a noble cause.
I said it's driving you crazy. I can see every day.
I would have walked.
You're getting a, you're getting very like Clouseau's boss.
Right. Herbert
Honestly,
Lom, yeah.
You're getting like Herbert Lom with Bernard Cook. You are, man. I could... oh, no, it's not with Bernard, it's with Clouseau, but you are getting like him with Clouseau.
I know. It drives me mad.
Yes.
My cheekbone keeps twitching.
You will end up in a straitjacket writing Little Sigh, I hate it in crayon, using your feet. And that's when you know it's bad.
I know.
That's when it's gone bad. I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, it is, you know, normally I say bad day for diesel.
Yeah.
It's a bad day for weasels. It is a bad day for diesel as diesel moves up to the most expensive it's ever been in its history.
Right.
Which is incredible considering 8 years ago, just 8 short years ago, the government was encouraging everyone to get into diesels.
Oh, you could get it out of taps.
Yeah. Yes, you could, Gav. But it's like they knew this was happening down the line.
It's almost like they knew, yeah.
No, 8 years ago, they were selling it as a clean fuel.
I know.
And let's not forget, I collect now 1960s Playboy magazines because they're quite... You've got interviews with, like, Fidel Castro, Albert Speer, you know, all the big showbiz names.
Oh, yeah.
And even then, honestly, the articles about global warming and the effect of plastic and petrol, they could have been written yesterday.
Easily.
It's quite extraordinary.
Same story,
how long the petrol companies have been holding this off and paying people. It's amazing. It blows my mind. I'm not even I'm not even an eco-doomster.
Well, anyone driving a truck in the 70s knew they weren't clean.
Yes.
Smoke coming out.
Well, anyone driving a diesel 8 years ago knew they weren't clean, but the government was saying this is a better alternative.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who's ever stood on a station platform and looked at the pebbles, the aggregate surrounding those horrid black and reds, thinking, that's a clean fuel response.
It's got to be good for everyone. Right? Clean.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, it's not a bad day. It's a bad day for weasels.
Why?
Because the weasel, it may be the villain in The Wind in the Willows, but Britain's smallest native carnivore needs legal protection. Falling numbers, I'm afraid.
Really?
Yeah. They studied 37 mammal species and they found the weasel is in the fastest decline.
Oh, my God.
Yep. 4.2% a year now, guys.
That's scary.
I can't think what it's going to be like when I go out and there's no weasels out there.
I know. It's like not having Little Si around.
I know.
You can't have that.
You imagine a world where at tea time, at Brillig, there's no weasels, Gyre and Gimbling.
Can't not have
in the
weasels.
Wabe. No, but none in the Wabe.
I know. You can't have your Wabe weaselless.
No, you can't have, but there's no one, there's no Slithy Toves.
That's true. That's
also Slithy Toves are weasels. At the start of the Jabberwocky, where Lewis Carroll tells us, 'twas Brillig, and the Slithy Toves did gyre and gimble in the Wabe. It means Brillig is the time of day between, I think, tea time and dusk.
Right.
On a summer's evening.
Yeah.
Do you know what the Wabe is?
No, what is it?
It's the long grass just around a sundial.
Ah!
It's the Wabe. But who hasn't looked out during
the Slithy Toves were weasels, were they?
Yes. Oh. And the Slithy Toves. It means on their hinds, just swaying.
Right, like little...
Well, that's one explanation for it. No one really knows what he's on about. He was high on mescaline.
Right.
But they think that's what he meant. And if you've ever met someone who's high on mescaline, it's hard to make sense of anything they talk about in terms of once you say, but what can you see? I see the Borogroves and the Momraths out Grabe. Thank you very much, Dave.
Yeah,
nice
cool,
to know that.
Yeah.
Anyway, they should be declared vulnerable to extinction. Well, if the decline is like that, they should be, Gav.
Definitely.
At my country place, I keep the Wabe deliberately long.
I would too.
So I don't miss out any gyre and gimbling around Brillig time from the Slithy Toves that populate the area. And I'll be gutted if they vanish. I really will.
Yeah, I love weasels.
I love a weasel,
they're
Gav.
They're brilliant.
But they're being choked.
It's not fair.
They're being choked by society. X.
The Paul Chowdhury Podcast.
What's happening?
Paul talks to comedians, musicians, broadcasters, and more.
This podcast has a 100% open door policy, so some might also view this as me saying yes to every guest that I'm offered, which I did.
Get the Paul Chowdhury Podcast now.
Just do what you need to do. Press like, subscribe. I don't know what you got to do these days to get your stuff, but do it.
You can just get it from Global Player right now.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Oh, that's those Red Hot Chili Peppers. I imagine them dangling from a Christmas tree, a lot of red peppers. Would look quite festive, actually.
It certainly would, yeah.
It would look quite good
Yeah. It would certainly spice up your Christmas, John.
It's certainly always spicing up our Christmas. The Red Hot Chili Peppers there, right here on your Radio X. It's a big moment for us here.
Yeah.
On your 4 till 7 thing, I said getting back into character.
Mm.
Stepping out of character and back to my real self.
Mm.
We've been given the huge honour of switching on the Radio X studio Christmas lights.
Mm.
This is largely because we're the first darkness show.
Right.
You can't do it in the morning.
Sure.
It has to be in the evening.
That would be weird.
Right.
Yeah.
George Godfrey wasn't enthusiastic. He said, it's just not really in the spirit of the show, is it?
It's not my thing.
It's not my thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Little Cy assures me he has thrown everything at this.
Yeah.
The production values are going to be, and I quote, off the scale. 83936, we want to react to that.
Off the scale.
Okay, off the chain.
But what's off the scale about it, Lil Si?
Lots of sound effects. It's going to sound big.
Cool.
Okay, we've all got Santa hats on.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I might even gap. I'm going to give this... Big Si, would you do me the honour of filming this so that afterwards I can post it somewhere and people can get the action? There it is. It's ready to film.
Yeah.
Big Si, action.
Wow, this is so Christmassy.
It really is really Christmassy. It is really Christmassy. And so forth.
Festive.
When you've had a few drinks this Christmas, keep saying the word Christmassy.
Yeah, it's easy.
Because it really is good when you've had a couple of drinks.
Sure.
So, Little Si, please, could we have one crowd ambience?
Yeah.
Oh.
There we go.
Claps.
Claps. Yeah, you got it.
Sounds of kids reacting.
Hang on. That's better.
Okay. Now, have you got a crowd countdown there?
Got a crowd countdown, yeah.
Okay.
God, this is exciting.
Are you genuinely excited?
Yes.
Yeah, he's having so much fun.
Okay, are we ready, everybody?
Yes.
Right. We want everyone listening right now to join in with the countdown, wherever you are.
Yep.
This is something we can share together, yeah? You've been with us all year. Mm. Trust me on this. You're going to really feel part of the Radio X 4 till 7 Thang gang. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, from 10, here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1... They're really sweet branding.
Yeah, get the lock.
Wow.
It's a shame that, of course, on Simon's film that he won't be getting any of the music.
That's true.
Or sound effects.
Yeah.
How about that? We've got falling stockings and hats and bells.
Yeah.
And really...
And the Christmassy guitar in the snow.
Oh, man.
With the little practice amp and the headphones.
The little amp
there. Oh, that's lovely.
Right.
So
there we go. So a lot of people there. Someone's just texting, Johnny Scale of what, though? Because he has history, says Simon. It's a very good point, actually.
Very good point.
On a scale of what?
Exactly. Mm. The little Si scale.
Right, there we go. The Christmas lights are on in the Radio X studio. Hey!
Waiting.
I wish this lot did a thing called Living for Christmas.
Living for Christmas.
Yeah.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Okay, Gav.
Yes.
It's Crazy Named Creature Day. Every single Thursday, Gav has a crazily named creature in his heroic little slot. Gav, let's do this.
Let's do it.
So far, like I say, we've had... Satanic leaf-tailed gecko, a raspberry crazy ant, panda ant, giant tarantula hawk wasp.
Oh, yeah.
Which is horrendous.
Horrible things.
What you got today, Gav? Come on.
Okay, the hero today, Johnny, is the hellbender salamander.
Hellbender?
A hellbender.
Wow, is it horrendous?
Horrible. It's a species of aquatic giant salamander.
What are salamanders? Are they they're not lizards, are they? Because they're amphibious.
It's an amphibian, much like a newt, not like a lizard. A lizard is a reptile. A salamander and a newt are just like long frogs. They're like frizzards.
A long frog.
Or logs.
A long frog.
Just like an amphibian.
Okay, a long frog.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
They have a flat
body. Well, that's official, is it?
That's right, yeah.
Well, you can say a salamander. Is there like a long frog?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. You say that to anyone, they'll believe
you. In that case, you could easily kill them with salt or something, can't you?
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
Salt water will do a frog, no sweat.
Oh, yeah. So they have a flat body and head. They have beady eyes, very short legs. They're about 15 inches long from snout to vent.
Wow.
About 29 inches long if you include the tail.
They've got gills, no?
Yes, they've got lungs and gills. So they are truly amphibious.
So they're really what humans came from then, like a lungfish almost.
Yeah, they're 65 million years old.
So they really are. They really overlap with dinosaurs and us. They must be one of the few things kicking around that do that. Right. Apart from, of course, seagulls.
Absolutely. They weigh up to 5 pounds. They've got blotchy red and brown coloured skin. As I said, lungs and gills under a sort of flap of skin along their body.
They cost 5 quid?
No, they weigh five quid.
Sorry.
They weigh 5 quid.
Okay, sorry, Gav. I thought you'd say, cost up to 5 pounds.
They are the fifth heaviest.
Two salamanders, please. That's 10 pounds, please. There you go. I've only got 9. That's all right. Pay me the other one when you come to pick up the other salamanders next week.
Pad.
Yeah, that's £2. That's 40 quid, please. You want 8 salamanders?
Yeah. They are the fifth heaviest amphibian on Earth, behind the Chinese giant salamander, the Japanese giant salamander, the largest cane toad, and the Goliath frog.
Now, Gav, can I just tell you, Gav?
Yeah.
I'd really leave that. That was really, really stat.
I know.
It's the fifth heaviest amphibian.
No, it's like Europe's fourth best water park.
Which I've been to. They only do that. That's in Corfu, yeah?
It's great.
But no, and it's not. It's Europe's fourth biggest wave pool, which is at Hydropolis in Corfu. But they only do it because they know you're not going to check it out. Because I've been to at least 8. I love aqua parks. I've been to bigger wave parks than that.
Sure.
They're just lying.
So why is it called a hellbender? It's thought the name was from settlers in America who thought it was, and this is the quote from an old bit of writing.
Settlers, like,
it was a creature. It was thought to be a creature from hell where it's bent on returning.
Is that it?
And it said the undulated skin reminded observers of, quote, horrible tortures of the infernal regions.
Ugh.
Its other names, do you want to know what its other names
what?
Are?
What?
Snot otter, the lasagna lizard, the devil dog, and the mud dog.
I think lasagna lizards are odder, Gav.
They're horrible. They feed on crayfish in the summer. They feed on small fish in the winter. They live in rocky streams. They've got terrible eyesight, but they've got light-sensitive cells all along their body and tail, allowing them to hide under rocks.
Ugh.
They can feel when there's light on
them. Are
they
dangerous?
Here, have a look at one of them. They're absolutely horrible looking things. They really are horrible.
It's like a turd with
eyes. Yes, it is, with short legs. Yeah, they're really disgusting.
Hey, Gav.
Yeah, go on.
Do you think we should do a podcast as like settlers, you know? We're both settlers, actually. We just come to America.
We're just settlers.
We're just settlers now.
From Yorkshire, originally.
Yeah, no, well, Manchester.
Okay, and, Lancashire.
My brother's from over that side at Penhouse, yeah. Hey, we've just seen these funny creatures. They're like...
They're like mud dogs. They're like devil dogs.
They're like devil dogs.
They're like snot otters.
It's like a snot otter, we're calling him.
We just settled on Hellbender.
No, I've asked my Uncle Des. He's one of the settlers.
Let's salute
him
anyway.
Basically, we've come over here to settle.
The Hellbender.
The Hellbender. Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7 thing. Oh, we salute you. The hero in the Daily Mail, Johnny, is Gav.
Who?
Someone who's still using the same iron that they bought in 1947.
Oh, my God, they'd have loved him, yeah.
They love it, Gav.
I bet they love
that. Well, I showed you the picture of how proud everyone is. You don't need one of them new fancy irons, Gav.
No. No, you just keep your old one and get it
repaired. There's even a little setting for lace mats that you can have on your table to put your Bible on. X.
Ed Gamble and Matthew Crosby. Radio X.
Hello, Ed Gamble here.
Hello, Matthew Crosby here.
And we want you to listen to our podcast of the Ed Gamble and Matthew Crosby radio show on Radio X. There's so many great features, so many great times. For instance, we've just started doing a feature where listeners message in with times they've injured their eyes. It's called Eye Captain, and it's genuinely upsetting.
Yeah, it's really, really bad stuff. And if that sounds like your sort of thing, listen on Global Player.
It's horrible.
Radio X.
Johnny
Vaughan. Right, guys. Leather coats have been banned in North Korea.
Really? What, yep. Banned?
Yes. To stop citizens copying Kim Jong-un's look.
I saw him in that big black one, yeah.
He looks fantastic. What I'm amazed is, I didn't realise until I watched this brilliant documentary that's on Sky at the moment, Sky documentaries about North Korea,
right,
is that if they want people with skills, they just kidnap them.
Yeah, that's right. Filmmakers, they did it. They got some Chinese film directors.
No, they're just nice public ones. Just anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like scientists, stuff like
that. Just go and get them.
Oh, no, no one's safe. If they want a DJ to broadcast to the West, we're not necessarily safe. They could just take us. No, they could. You've got no choice. No one's going to save us, Gav.
That's true, yeah. No one's coming in after
us. I can assure you.
You can't just go to North Korea.
And... mind you, I reckon if he liked you...
Mm.
I mean, the Sultan of Brunei used to listen to the Capital Breakfast every morning, so when I used to do that,
yeah,
it was piped in to... Because he liked... When he was a student over here, he used to listen to Tarrant before me.
Oh, so he stayed at Capital,
so he used to go out.
Yeah.
It was quite weird knowing you were also broadcasting to Brunei. You say, good morning, London. Good morning, Brunei. Where, incidentally, at the time, had the highest annual salary of any people on earth at £15,000, which is, at the time, quite a lot of money.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite... Considering in North Korea, the monthly salary is...
50p.
50p.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so...
It's a big difference.
It's a big difference.
Big difference.
Big difference in Brunei and North Korea. Anyway. Please don't take us. No. I'm just saying, but no one's safe like that. And the other thing that was revealed is there's 14 haircuts you can have.
Right.
Less than that. There's 14 if you're a woman. There's 8 haircuts I think you can have if you're a man.
In North Korea.
But you're not allowed the jong-uns.
You can't have the
no
curtains.
No,
right,
you can't have the curtains,
really?
The short back of size. No.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they don't want that. But that might be to his chagrin. To his chagrin.
Okay.
It might be to his chagrin.
His chagrin?
It might be to his chagrin, we could find out. Because if ever he's got to hide,
yeah,
suddenly, if South Korea sweeps into the north,
yeah, how you gonna...
then he's running around thinking, where am I going to hide?
Yeah,
what about me? Yeah. And suddenly they'll identify him.
Should let everyone have the leather coats and the curtain hair.
Like Saddam Hussein did. It was like the whole country.
everyone
looked like him.
It's true. The Parson thing was terrifying.
No, but So I saw a documentary about it. And in the Iraqi police station,
yeah,
they had an incredible amount of, you know, photo fits for criminals.
Right, yeah.
They had an amazing variety of moustaches.
Did they?
Because they could see the subtle difference.
Oh, okay, right.
But you, as an ignorant, untrained Westerner, couldn't.
Sure.
So anyway, they've banned leather coats. Mm. They've banned anyone having their hair cut. But I've got one other great Jong-un fact for you.
Go on.
Do you know what his private aeroplane's called? Gav, I've told you, but act innocent.
I can't remember.
Do you remember?
No, I can't. He's got a name.
He's got his own jet, yeah, because he's got 13 palaces around the country.
Right, right.
Which he's turned just into his fiefdom.
Okay, yeah, of course.
And I also didn't realise that they just produce really good fake dollars.
Do they?
Yeah, they've got amazing...
That's their economy.
They've got presses just turning them over. And they've got the same machines to make the notes as make the real ones.
Wow.
The only thing they can't get hold of is the real paper that the American ones are printed on. That's because they're not printed on paper. They're printed on linen.
Right.
That's why they don't dissolve in water. That's not paper.
Amazing.
Dollars aren't paper. They're made of cloth.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Anyway, he's got the same printers. Yeah, they produce drugs. Counterfeit goods.
Wow.
They just sell it around the world.
It's just a firm, basically.
It's genius. Just taking crime up to an international level.
State level,
because
yeah,
then it's not illegal.
No, of course not. No, who's going to put him in trouble?
Right. No, it's not illegal. It's in your country. So, no, it's fine. Obviously, fine. Anyway, the last thing is, I'll tell you what the name of his plane is.
Guess what it is.
You're going to love this. Air Force Un.
No, it's not.
Yes, it's called Air Force Un.
Is it really?
Yes. And that's his joke on Trump. It's called Air Force Un. It's in the documentary. I'm not kidding either.
Radio X.
Right, we're still on the hunt for the world's greatest nickname, ladies and gentlemen. So far, we've discovered the guy with the surname Needham, affectionately called Dewey, Lee Michael, better known as French Mike, and Phil, whose initials were P.E. Hall, so he got named Jim. No, very good, sir.
Very good.
Keep coming in, 83936, or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation. Otherwise, it's just a name. This is from Sally. I've got a work colleague named Daniel. He always wanders off to the bar on his own and buys himself a drink. Never offers to get us any at all. So we call him Dan Solo. Fantastic. Thank you very much for that. Dan Solo. Do you know, for years...
That's a really good one.
For years, before I saw it spelled, I thought his name was Hans.
Oh, did you?
Yes,
I thought it was... Hans Solo?
Oh, no, Hans Olo.
No.
Yes, I did.
You did.
I did, yes.
Hans
Olo. Well, who's called Han?
Good point.
Right.
Very
well, what's
good
more
point,
likely that he's called Hans Olo?
Olo.
Or yeah, well, all right, then Han.
But actually, thinking about it, the surname Solo makes no sense
makes no
either.
Sense either, right.
Makes no sense.
No, he's more likely called Hans Olo.
It's true. You're
yes.
right. You're absolutely right. Your logic
thank you.
Is sound.
Thank you very much.
Your logic is sound.
Right, good. Good.
Okay, I've got one here from Susan. Susan says, I knew a girl at uni nicknamed Pirate. It was ages until I found out her real name.
What's her real name?
Which was Iona Parrot.
Oh, that's fantastic. Iona Parrot.
Yeah.
That's just genius.
That's amazing.
Right, I've got the next one up for you. This is from Janine.
Go on.
Hi, Janine. Which, of course, was the butcher's troubled daughter.
Sure.
In EastEnders, wasn't
yeah.
it? Wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I seem to remember they were involved with some of Janine.
Yeah, yeah.
You could probably see how that name died out roughly around that time.
Definitely. Yeah. Just like Nigel has disappeared now.
Because of EastEnders. Yeah. Yeah. Or Farage.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
okay, yeah. Fine. No, I think it died with the EastEnder.
Oh,
Nigel,
right. Yeah.
With the weird perm. I worked with a guy on a mine in Africa. His name was Stephen Wong. Due to how our email addresses were generated, his name became ST Wong, followed by at, etc. Everyone started calling him the Stwong Man. Thank you very much. That's from Janine. Keep them coming in to 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation. Otherwise, it's just a name. There we go. I hope no one's offended by any of the nicknames. We're offended by many of the ones you send in. I can assure you.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Well, we've strolled along with the show today.
Sure have.
And we've had a cracking time.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been affected by weather.
No, no.
We've talked about a range of subjects.
Uh-huh. I stuck to the game plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you what still gets me, though, Gaff.
What?
Every time I open a newspaper.
Right.
Is this iron from the 90s.
It's still haunting you.
Yeah, I've been looking for it, but I just don't see why. Yes, someone's using an iron.
Yes, it's lasted a while.
Yes, it has. Very little can go wrong with them.
That's right, yeah.
What it means is, down the line, someone was a very lazy housewife. No, they were.
They just weren't using it.
They weren't using it. That's the only conclusion you could draw, is that whoever it is has got a really lazy grandmother.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that now.
Or it was bought by a man originally and was never used.
When Ivy Sutton bought a Morphy Richards iron in the early 1940s for 41 shillings,
right.
She might have been drawn to its reasonable price and simple design. About 80 years later, her grandson has praised its solid build for making it the oldest working iron in Britain.
They can't know that for sure.
No, but look, I've looked at it. The state of it, that is... listen, I do a lot of ironing, yeah?
Sure.
My dad's a big on ironing. All of Vaughan men are.
Oh, yeah.
We love it.
Oh, yeah.
And we do. It's how we all go to therapy. We go off and go, oi, mum, I'm going to do some ironing. You know what?
That's right. The Vaughans are known for their trouser creases.
We're known for our creases, right.
You sure?
And I'll tell you something, Gav.
Mm.
Nana Sutton, old Ivy Sutton, she has not used that iron.
You think she just put it away?
Yes, I think you're talking about a lazy housewife.
Right.
She wouldn't be fit to iron in the Vaughan household, I'll tell you that much.
No, she wouldn't have that game.
No, the Vaughan boys wouldn't have allowed that.
Right,
she wouldn't have, because she couldn't have ironed shoulder to shoulder with us, I can tell you.
How long has it taken you to do a proper white shirt? You can do that in what, 10 minutes?
Gaff, sometimes I like to take my time.
Oh, do you?
So that's different times, isn't it?
How do you do the shoulders? That's the hardest bit.
The yoke.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal, right?
Go on.
First thing you're doing, what's the first thing you iron with a shirt?
I always do the back first, the lower back.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Really?
You're wrong.
What am I doing wrong?
First thing you do is you get the collar of the shirt, you lay it out.
And flat.
You lay it out flat. The first thing you ever iron always is the back of the collar.
Oh,
why?
Really?
Why? In case there's any dirt on the iron.
Then you find out, nothing
worse than a bit. You might have a bit of starch hanging around there.
You don't want that.
So what you do is you put that down, so you lay it down, pinch one corner of it and actually press it down.
Right.
And use that bit of heat because that'll stick it to the board. Now you're starting to spread it out. And it's quite satisfying. So start with the back of the collar.
Okay.
Start with the back of the collar, then you're getting rid of any dirt.
Well, then where'd you go?
Yep.
Sleeves?
Off the back of the collar. No, you're
front,
kidding.
Back.
Shut up, Gavin.
What are you doing?
You're going straight into it. You put the arm at the top of the shoulder, you put it over the ironing board and go round the yoke.
Okay,
first
right.
of all.
Yeah,
first
yeah,
of all,
yeah.
this is before we start putting creases in.
Right.
We do creases last.
Oh, really? Of
yeah,
course.
First
yeah,
thing
yeah,
is,
that makes sense.
First thing is we put that whole, the whole yoke of the shirt, eat the left shirt, left yoke, right yoke, that's going over the thing. Just go right over the ironing board. This is before we start putting creases in.
Okay,
listen,
right.
Gav, I'm not going to go into it now because I've suddenly realised it's really hard to explain ironing on the radio.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you now, always start with the back of the collar, or one of the form boys is going to count you.
Every day, millions of hosts earn extra income by hosting their extra space on Airbnb. If you've ever thought about hosting, you might have a few questions. Does it take lots of time? Where do I start? Is it worth it? Now there's a way you can ask questions and get answers from someone who's done it all before. It's called Ask a Superhost. Whether you're curious about how much hosts can earn, or just wondering if it's right for you, Superhosts are here to share their insight and experience. Learn more at airbnb.com/ask a superhost.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Since I've last been with you, brethren, sistren, all of you, Idrin, I've had the most terrible time.
Why?
Because I had my booster yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not the same as the AstraZeneca. For some reason, they said, no, it's the Pfizer.
Right.
The AstraZeneca has complications. I'm thinking, well, cheers, I've already had two.
Yeah, I've had two of those.
So I had that.
Yeah, go on.
And then I finished the show yesterday, went home. I was just having dinner with my oldest son.
Yeah.
I just started getting all shivery.
Oh,
and I've never felt like it before because I've never had flu.
Right.
And I just started feeling awful.
You've got flu-like symptoms.
Yeah, I had flu-like symptoms, which everything is. I suddenly realised for years I've laughed about people saying flu-like symptoms.
Yeah.
It was just awful.
You feel spongy.
I felt like sort of Raskolnikov when he's going through the real bad times in Crime and Punishment. He's just thrashing around in his pit, just really just in and out of consciousness, just sweating. And just
people
weird.
Daubing your forehead with.
Yeah, you're just weird. It was awful.
A face cloth.
I had the most awful dream about you.
Really?
Yes.
About me?
Yes. I was ranting.
Really?
No, I dreamt we were in this studio and I've asked you a question.
What, on the show?
On the show, yeah. Except the studio is like a sort of fairground.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a dream. A
sort of Victorian fairground.
Like Citizen Kane.
It's like a nightmare. No, it was horrible, yeah, shot from below.
Yeah.
And you started miming instead of talking to me.
What, on the radio?
Yeah. I said, woman, that's the worst sort of radio. And you put these white gloves on. You started really miming, but really horribly.
That is a radio host's nightmare,
isn't
it?
It was, yes.
Everyone starts miming at you.
Right, that
you're
was
on
my
your
nightmare.
Own,
yeah. It was a nightmare.
It's like being at sea.
No, it was terrible.
In a coracle.
It was terrible, Gav. It
must have been really anxiety.
It really wasn't. It was just awful.
You're not well, are you?
No.
You're feeling a bit spongy.
I'm feeling really spongy. I mean, I've managed to pull it together with the help of some Solpadine. God bless you, Solpadine.
It's miraculous.
But I've been feeling, since I lost it, I'm thinking, why did I bother with this?
You're not yourself, John.
No, I'm not. I felt really bad for a bit.
Do you know what you need?
What?
Nice cup of tea.
Actually, do you know something?
Nice cup of tea.
No, I do feel like a nice cup of tea.
Yeah, and I think we'll put the fire on.
No, it's quite cold in the studio.
Do you want a blanky?
A ganky? It's always a ganky when you're ill,
Gav. Right?
Oh, I just fancy a nice ganky.
A nice little ganky.
A nice little ganky. Are you going to make me a cup of tea?
Yeah, I'll make you a cup of tea.
Oh, cheers, Woodman.
Radio X.
Seagulls, it turns out, as you know, they're what we call the show foe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, they are, yeah.
Show foe gull.
Yeah.
They may seem like muggers as they dive bomb your bag of chips at the seaside, but scientists have found the birds have got the brains to match that brawn.
How do they think this? Why?
Well, researchers have discovered they are capable of solving puzzles
right.
to get what they want. They're not just smash and grab artists.
Oh, okay. So they're not just using force.
No, picture this. Are you ready, Gav?
Go on.
They placed a piece of sausage on a Petri dish.
Right.
Within a transparent box near the bird's nest.
Okay.
So, sausage.
Yep. Petri dish.
On a Petri dish in a clear Perspex box. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
A string was tied to the dish. Yeah.
Right.
And trailed out of a 2 centimetre high slit in the side. So.
Okay.
Side of box, 2 centimetre, so the Petri dish will slide out of there.
Like a letterbox.
It's on a string.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Go on.
The only way for the gull to get the food was to pull the string to slide the dish out of the box.
Right.
For me, do I describe that as?
What?
A no-brainer.
Sure.
And evidently, the seagulls did as well.
Okay.
They were all a total of 104 gulls tried to solve the challenge. A quarter were able to retrieve the food. The rest were just too stupid.
Really?
Greedy.
I thought you were going to say they all did it.
No, only a quarter were bright enough. But still, I can. That's not that challenging.
Not really. Grab the string and pull it.
Yeah, you could accidentally. I mean, it's pretty obvious. If they couldn't do it, I'd be more worried.
Right.
Considering they're capable of flying down and zooming in on chips and waiting until someone is not
looking. Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
That's nothing.
Oh, they'll take an ice cream out of your hand.
No, but the way that's really intelligent now.
It's not.
Because it was on a bit of string.
No.
Yeah, right. You just pull the string and you get the food. It's,
yeah, exactly.
They understand basic. They can fly. You want to impress me? Yeah. I bet the scientists doing that can't do that. Some perching birds can pull string with their claws.
Yeah.
Do birds have claws?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Your talons. Yeah. But a gull has to use its beak. A total of 104 gulls tried to solve the challenge, like I say. The study was completed by researchers at Memorial University in Newfoundland. Obviously, in this world at the moment, they've got nothing better to do.
No, of course not.
So I'll try and train gulls, weaning gulls onto sausage.
I'm worried that they're trying to cordon off the clever ones.
Yes.
And then get them even more trained up.
Yeah.
Like an elite gull
force.
Well,
I'll tell you something. 10% of the birds, do you know what they did?
What?
Went off, back to their nest, came back with a little toolkit.
No.
Yeah, and there'd be a little metal toolkit.
On a little belt.
A little thing, and they had a little, and they manufactured little pulley systems.
And did you hear that little impact driver noise?
Yeah, they were doing that. They drilled through the side of it. They drilled through the side of it.
Yeah.
And the rest just sat around doing Sudokus, apparently. But innovative birds are more likely than less innovative birds. Can I say innovative? That's American, isn't it?
It's okay.
No, but
it gets you round your issue with the word innovative.
Stop being flash. Innovative birds are more likely than less...
Innovative.
Innovative. To subsist when faced with habitat destruction and reduced access to natural food sources.
It's so a lot of thinking about something.
It's a lot. I mean,
we've got one text here. Johnny says, "Come on, man! String looks like a worm to a bird."
Yeah, exactly right.
You know,
exactly right.
You pull it,
pull
the
worm,
you
get a sausage.
Something.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. It's crazy.
That's a great point, Phil in Cornwall.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that, and a couple of others. Yeah. Jeff could do that, no sweat.
Your bulldog.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah, Jeff. Yeah, yeah. Jeff, my bulldog, can do it. Absolutely no sweat at all. Do you know what I've seen him do?
What?
When I've dropped a biscuit under the sofa, do you know what he did?
What?
He went off, he got a ruler from my study.
No, he did.
Yes, he did. He got the ruler in his beak and he scraped underneath the sofa.
He got it out?
Yeah, using a tool like that to scrape it out.
God.
Yeah, caught him doing that. Yeah, then he went back to his book.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Gav.
Go on.
Building artificial AI into weapons could wipe out humanity, says Stuart Russell, an AI researcher. He's doing the Reith lectures for the BBC.
Okay.
They're called Living with Artificial Intelligence, and he's cautioning against this. Quite disturbing, Gav.
Right.
Because he said a lethal AI-powered quadcopter could be as small as a tin of shoe polish, about 3 grams of explosive, enough to kill a person at close range.
Yeah.
A regular container could hold a million lethal weapons, and they can all be sent to do their work at once. So the inevitable end point is that autonomous weapons become cheap, selective weapons of mass destruction. Happy Christmas!
Ah, what a wonderful...
Happy Christmas!
That's just heartwarming, isn't it? Yeah.
The Santa bomb, whatever they're going to call it.
Swarms of flying grenades that know where they're going.
Yes.
And can teach themselves.
Russell warned that AI weapons were no longer science fiction. Apparently, this is how you can get involved.
Right.
You can buy them today. They're advertised on the internet.
Oh, wonderful.
That's nice to know, isn't it?
That's so relaxing, isn't it?
Yes. Well, that's cheered me up.
It really has, yeah.
Yes.
Very Christmassy.
The MOD has said that its weapons will always have a human in the loop. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. You're not just going to let them get on with it by themselves, right, Gav?
Right. Or will anyone hack them to be able to just ignore their brother?
Oh, these days we just let them get on with it by themselves.
Yeah, they're fine.
That's just like hiring a psychotic squaddy, tooling him up and saying, off you go.
Off you go. Do what you like.
Off you go, Jock.
Yeah.
Off you go, Yorkie. Off you go, Taff.
Yeah.
You and your key, you go up there and do what you pretty well
and just make hay while the sun shines.
You lot go there, fix bayonets, and off you go, lads. Yeah. Off you go, Yorkie.
Yeah. No instructions.
There you. Here you are, Geordie.
Well, thank
boots.
You, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll go to Germany, see what I can do.
That's a lot of ammo.
That's a lot of ammo you've given us there, Quartermaster.
Quartermaster's a great name for a band.
It's a good name for it. Well, it's all right, Gav.
Yeah.
Anyway, the ministry is pouring billions of pounds into autonomous systems and AI because it's seeking to compete with foreign adversaries. Who? God. Who are these foreign adversaries?
God knows.
No one's going to invade us, surely.
It's probably the Jong-un again.
No one's going to invade us, surely.
Surely not.
Yeah, right.
Stop looking like that. You made me all scared of
why? Why?
Invasion.
No, but you never know. Cut to four Cornishmen in an outhouse.
I know.
He's wrong about that, isn't he?
We start at dawn.
And I'm going to come for him. And I'm going to take Devon down first, and I'm going to get some autonomous weapons on the so-called internet.
Yeah,
and I'm going to take down, I'll be able to take down most of Britain. I bet you that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to take down some of them Brits.
At daybreak.
I'm going to go in at dawn, like. That's what I'm going to do. As soon as it starts raining. And I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to kill most of Britain.
Yep.
You know why that is? Because I'm Cornish. And I've got the intranet.
That's right.
I'm going to get on there, I'm going to buy some AI destructive powers.
X. With true-to-life colour, LG OLED self-lit Pixel TVs are the best LG has ever made. And if you buy it from Currys this Christmas, there's a 1 in 20 chance you'll win your money back. Unlike Santa, we don't keep a list of who's been good or bad. So who wins is completely up to chance. Whether you've been an angel or pretended you got pinged to get out of seeing your parents, it doesn't matter. You'll all get an equal chance of winning your money back when you buy an LG OLED TV from Currys. GB only. Register 32 to 42 days post-purchase. End 7th of the 12th. T's and C's apply.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
A really unusual thing's happened today, Gav.
What?
Is that two leaders, who I'm not a big fan of.
Sure.
And normally, when people... Anyone from outside, even if I don't like the leader they're criticising,
right?
Normally, instantly, oh yeah, it's like someone insults one of your mates or your family.
Yeah, he might be horrible, but he's our horrible.
Yeah. But today, when Macron has dismissed our Prime Minister as a clown and a knucklehead,
right?
I was like,
Yeah. Crack on. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really rare for me.
It is. I get it.
I suddenly thought, wow. Yeah, but even when other leaders sort of hated Mrs. Thatcher, actually, no, probably.
Yeah.
No, I was all right with that, but I was just saying, but he's got him a clown and a knucklehead. I thought I'd go along with both of us. He does sort of clown it up, doesn't he?
Of course he does. He'd have to admit it himself, wouldn't
although
he?
I think dunderhead.
Is that what his haircut is called?
Yes, a dunder. Yeah, can I have a dunderhead, please? Also, this is even worse, is that Donald Trump...
Yeah.
...is... He's talking to Nigel Farage, and I agreed with some things he said.
Oh, my God.
Yes. He's talking about Meghan. He says, I think she's been very disrespectful to the Queen, who's such a great woman, such a great person, a historic person.
She's a historic person. Top of the line.
Yeah. She says she's top of the line. She's
top quality.
The Queen is great merchandise. He says, he's just talking about, he's criticised the Duchess of Sussex for being disrespectful towards the Queen.
Yeah.
And called Boris Johnson's wind power plans ridiculous. But I don't agree with him there. I like the idea of wind power.
It's brilliant. Well, Trump thought windmills gave you cancer at one point, do you remember?
No, but now he's saying, because they're so harmful to birds.
That's right.
And you know, that's something that a guy with his depth cares about.
Yeah, of course. He's always been
a big bird watcher. You think Twitcher.
Yeah,
he's the
definitely.
Sort of guy.
Yeah.
And also, can I say, Farage interviewing him,
yeah,
that's not an interview.
Right.
That's just him talking to someone.
Right, yes, it is, yeah.
But it's very different.
It's very different.
It's not like Farage is going to go, tell me exactly what you mean. But surely that's a load of crap, Donald.
That's right, yeah. Questions aren't happening.
No. Hang on, say that again. You're talking rubbish, man. That's not going to happen.
No.
It's more like, sorry, what was the next question you wanted me to ask?
What else was so brilliant about
you? If you look on your sheet, Nigel, there's another question about how great I am.
Yeah.
Anyway, also, he's criticised because he's taken down he's criticised Biden, who's taken down the statue of Winston Churchill.
Right.
And he's saying that he thinks it's, he said, I had it back there for my entire time. It was there. And look, he was a very handsome man. I don't know why I'm doing that weird
why
voice.
Why is Trump bringing up how attractive?
And he was a very handsome man.
He looked like central casting.
He was a handsome... Who, Churchill?
Yeah, I know.
Handsome.
Well, not even when he was 22.
Anyway, he says now that America's global reputation is the lowest point it's ever been at. I've got to tell you, but you might want to not say that.
Yeah.
There was a period of 4 years.
It took a while to get there.
But I think, I've got to tell you, what's amazing is he didn't see it.
He just doesn't see it at all, does he? No.
He doesn't see...
Incapable of seeing it.
That really it was... Well, it became a joke.
Right, of course.
Yeah. America, the superpower.
Pushing G7 leaders out of the way at events to stand in front of them and all that.
Yeah, and the stupid handshake.
All of that, pulling people around.
He turns America into a joke.
Right, right. And then blames the person after.
Yes, but he genuinely does. And I love America. I love going there. I like Americans. Sure. I like American sports.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like him. Right. So how about that, though? I do agree with Trump and Macron today. How about that?
Unbelievable. Radio X.
Guys, I've got some stuff here that's going to really... It's going to alarm some listeners.
Okay, go on.
I'm afraid. That's just the way it is.
Right.
First off, yeah? This is... Oh, incidentally, about weasels. Come on, why does anything decline? Why does any population decline?
Habitat.
One, and lack of food.
Right, yeah.
So the things they feed on are going voles and such like that. That's right. Come on, there's not even... You know it's going to be habitat and diet.
We need to bring in some Australian voles or something.
It doesn't matter, Gavin. What's the matter right here on the 4-7 thing, you listen to Radio X, is that we look at an existential threat that man is quite happily creating for himself.
Okay.
Not satisfied with weasels.
Weasel threats,
Item two, man, how do we get rid of us?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you how. First of all, you create, and this really will disturb anyone. China has developed a high-speed drone ship with swarm capability. Headline, new drone ships attacking swarms. Good-o.
Oh, great.
Thanks, guys. Brilliant. It can besiege and expel invasive targets without a human at the controls. It'll be great if we develop a new drone defense regiment.
Right. Yeah. A swarming regiment.
Yes. And it can be nice if we could just have drones quite happily getting on with the war without us.
Drone wars.
Yeah.
Well, everyone would watch.
Yeah, we'd watch on telly. How are we doing today? Well, we lost a few drones, but, you know, there we go.
It's better than the NFL.
Know where that came from. They're all made in, ironically, they're all made in China. Anyway, new drone ships attacking swarms. Yeah. So let's have a drone ship that can jolly well defend in swarms, and let's let the tech people get on with it by themselves.
Yeah.
But this is the next thing that's got me, because this isn't the only swarm.
Okay.
You ready?
Go on.
Scientists create swarms of self-replicating robots.
Why?
Good-o!
Well, they can replicate themselves now.
Yes.
Well, it was nice knowing you, Tom.
They're called Xenobots. in a breakthrough that could have been plucked from the pages of science fiction, everything in science can. I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you why that's the case.
Why?
It's the Star Trek factor, isn't it?
Right.
Is that you know that we only had flip phones because Kirk had them.
100%.
And that's the way it goes. It's because... Scientists don't have much imagination.
No.
What they do like is science fiction when they're kids. So all they do is base the future on what the past vision of the future was. It's all they do.
That's right. They're trying to find it. Yeah.
What do they focus on? Aliens, time travel.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course
right.
They do. There's no aliens. Yeah, yeah. There's no chance of time travel. But that won't stop the scientists because they saw that on telly when they were kids. Other things, flying cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They all saw Blade Runner. They like that as well.
They do.
Robots.
Self-driving cars.
Wouldn't it be amazing? They should ban science fiction and just see what we develop without any artist giving them a vision of it.
Right,
want artists leading society ever. Hitler was a classic example of not that good an artist.
Yeah.
Science fiction writers don't tend to be that good.
Right.
Particularly not ones who write telly scripts.
Okay.
You know, hence you look at early Star Trek. They're rubbish.
They aren't great, are they? Yeah, they're not
Although
great.
They are strangely sexy when Kirk, starts getting all intimate with a woman with a massive great green head.
Yeah, I know.
I used to watch it as a kid, so I think, that's quite sexy, that's quite... No, anyway, let's carry on. In a breakthrough that could have been plucked from the pages of science fiction, a pot boiler, researchers have created swarms of living robots capable of reproducing.
I mean, why?
Because they're about a millimetre in diameter.
Great.
They're shaped like a Pac-Man.
Right. They're going to get in our ears, aren't they?
They can make copies of themselves by gathering together new cell clusters, a process that will repeat for several generations. What they're saying here is, once they've invented these, there's very little chance we can stop them.
No, because they'll be doing it themselves.
Brilliant. That's just what we needed.
Another guys.
Another existential threat. Thanks, guys. Just what we needed. A robot that can make itself but have no apparent reason.
Oh, man.
It doesn't say there's no advantage to them.
Yeah, I don't get what they're for.
There's nothing. It doesn't say.
They're going to be drinking from our eyeballs while just, we sleep, aren't they?
They just exist to reproduce.
Right.
Rather like humans.
Yeah.
Last thing. So we've got new drone ships attacking swarms.
Yep.
We've got scientists create swarms of self-replicating robots. Oh. Hopefully we can put those up against the drone ships that will come in swarms. Yep. And lastly, a robot that reaches across the world. It's a new robot that's been invented. It means, if you're strapping into the robot in Britain, you could give, say, your relatives a hug in South Africa and the robot. But we assume it's not really that. Yeah. It means you can literally strangle someone.
That's right, assassin.
Miles away.
Yeah, it's
yes.
an assassin.
It means
yeah.
you can approach and using your own skill and guile, you can hug someone and that's it. So you can now kill people miles away.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Someone will get back to you.
Radio X.